Welcome to Beautiful Feet Podcast with teaching from the ministry of Carl Yarnell. This is your host, Sharon Kate. Today's episode is number 16, and it's presenting lesson number 2 in the series, Renewing Your Mind. So get your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 12, and let's listen together.
There's really one basic problem. And that is, there's something wrong with our mind. You aware of that? Now, you know, we can look at other people and say, there's something wrong with that person's mind for sure. And there often is. But we're not just talking about the mind of the brain. Remember last week? We are talking about the mind of the heart also. We have a mind in our brain, and we have a mind in our heart. And these two should function together. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes they do, and that makes us doubly in trouble. Gives us a double problem. When this mind is not working according to the will of God, and the mind of our heart, the mind of our soul, is not working right, then we really are out of joint with the Lord. And so we're talking about the fact that the Scripture teaches that we need to have a renewed mind. Our mind is not what it ought to be. And that even though we're born again, we get a new spirit, we don't get a new mind. And even though many of the thoughts of our heart are changed, and the Lord takes care of a part of that heart and the thinking of the heart, a part of it we have to do. The Holy Spirit doesn't do it all. He gives us a new heart, but that heart has to be reprogrammed with God's thoughts, God's feelings, God's will. And the brain still is just human. There's nothing godly or spiritual about a human brain. It's just a brain. It's a computer. Whatever's in the computer, you punch the right buttons, it comes out. And this also needs to be renewed, because the computer has been fed the wrong stuff. It not only malfunctions, and we have different kinds of attitudes and relationships and actions because the computer's fouled up, but what's in it may not be coming from the right source. There are things that we learn from our parents, from our brothers and sisters, from school, from television, from newspapers, from what we hear. All the time we're learning, material is being fed into the computer, and a lot of it is garbage, a lot of it's baggage, a lot of it's trash. And yet it's there. And it has to be gotten rid of. We need to be reprogrammed. And that's what the renewing of the mind is all about. It's reprogramming. We can't do it by ourselves. God has to do some of it entirely by himself. That's way down deep in what we call our heart. Not the organ, not the pump, but that seed of our personality that relates to the spirit. The deepest part of us, this side of the spirit. That part of us which is the bridge between the mind and the spirit. Our heart. God is able to do some of that. But he leaves the rest of it up to us. And so this is what we're looking at. What does the Scripture teach about the renewing of our mind? We saw last week that it's necessary. It's very needful that the mind is renewed, because the mind is corrupt. The mind or the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. It's what Jeremiah said, or God said through him. Who can know it? It's what is below the conscious thinking. Down deeper than what the world calls the subconscious. Even down below what they call the unconscious. It's down in the recesses of our inmost being. It's what the Scripture says. Your innermost man. Down inside your innermost being, there are things there that God needs to change. But he can't do it all, as I said, by himself. We have to cooperate with him. We have to assist him. Sometimes he takes the initiative, sometimes we do, when it comes to this mind up here. And when it comes to those things in the mind of the heart that he leaves to us to take the initiative for. He's given us a new spirit. We've been born again. He's given us a new heart, so we don't think exactly like we did, and yet A lot of the thoughts are still the same. We don't have exactly the same attitudes we had before we were born again, and yet we still have some of those old bad attitudes. So God has worked on us. Now it's time for us to work on ourselves with the assistance of God through the Holy Spirit. So today we're looking at the nature of a renewed mind. What is a renewed mind like? How can you know whether or not you've got a renewed mind? How do you act? How do you think? What are your attitudes if your mind has been renewed? First of all, we see that it is a mind that is subjected to the Holy Spirit. The song that Bob just sang, "Fill My Cup, Lord," has to be a continual song, because this is how the Lord operates to change us. To change who we are. To change us from being just human to being superhuman. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of life that is not just human. No Christian has the right to go around and say, "After all, I'm just human. Please excuse me." You can't do that. Because a born-again person can't say that. We are not just human. The nature of Adam, the first Adam, has been taken away from our heart and our spirit. We now have a new spirit and a new heart, the nature of God. God's thoughts and God's feelings and God's desires are innate within us now. They're a part of us. You can't lay them aside. They're there all the time. And then God begins to work from that viewpoint, from that standpoint, and work out in us, in our heart, and in our emotions, and in our will, and in our mind, our human mind, our brain, and then in our conduct, His will, and change us into the likeness of Jesus. But this comes about as we are subjected and subject our mind to the Holy Spirit. I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Chapter 2, verse 9, following. Now, some of the verses we're using over and over each week, because we're picking out different ideas, different substances each time. Last week and today and next week at least. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him." All right, so it's saying that God has some things for us that are not natural. Something we've never seen, we've never heard. We haven't even been able to imagine it or think it in our heart, in our deepest being. Externally, we have not experienced it, and internally, we have not experienced it. God has some things for us that are not of this world, that are not human. What is it? Those things that He has prepared for us. But those things He has prepared for us can only be received in a certain way. What is it? For to us, God has revealed them, or revealed these things, through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God, the secret things of God, the Holy Spirit knows. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of that man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. And now we have received, not the spirit of the world. Get that? Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, or understanding spiritual things with the Holy Spirit. But a natural man, just human, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised or discerned or judged. But he who is spiritual appraises, judges all things, yet he himself is appraised or apprised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What does he say here? That the renewed mind is subjected to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows God's mind. And the Holy Spirit abiding in us has access to our mind. The mind of the heart and the mind of the brain. If we allow him to. And that's the whole point. Many of us have never subjected our mind to the Holy Spirit. So we don't know God's mind. We don't know God's thoughts. The Holy Spirit is not able to break through the barriers that we have set up in our minds. Now, I'm asking, have you deliberately, objectively had a time in your life when you said, Holy Spirit, I subject myself to you and I give you my mind. Lord Jesus, I give you my mind and ask you to give me your mind. Have you done that? You say, oh, God knows that's what I want. Yes, God knows it, but that doesn't mean it happens. Everything we receive from God that requires an act of our will, the will must be expressed. And the way we express our will is in words and action, not thoughts. And it is not enough just to think, God, I want you to have my mind, and I want the Holy Spirit to be in control of all I think and with all my attitudes. That's not enough. It won't work. You have to tell him. You have to speak it. And then you begin to act it. You think, and then you speak, and then you act. That's the way we operate. And so we operate the same way when it comes to cooperation between the Holy Spirit and ourselves, our spirit or our mind. And so the Holy Spirit will come and tell us the thoughts of God if we will subject our minds to him. He gives us the mind of Christ and the thoughts of God. There in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for to us God has revealed these things. What? The hidden things, the secret things. How? Through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. There's not anything about God that you can know that you can't know. That makes sense? There's not anything about God that it's possible for a redeemed, enlightened, spirit-filled human being to know. There's not anything about God that you cannot know if you want to and if you will. You not only have to want, you have to will. You have to have the desire, then you have to do what's necessary for that desire to be fulfilled. God wants to give us many wonderful gifts. We cannot even imagine all the wonderful things he wants to give us, but we have to receive them, and we receive them by reaching out and taking them. We receive them by saying, give me, Lord. I take it, Lord. And then opening ourselves up and living that way. And so, there must be a subjection to the Holy Spirit to have a renewed mind. And then, the mind that is renewed is cleansed. It's cleansed of sinful thoughts and sinful attitudes. If you have any of the thoughts of the old man, if you have any of the thoughts and attitudes that you had before you were saved, before you were born again, then your mind hasn't been totally renewed. Because the person whose mind is renewed has the mind of Christ. He has the thoughts of God and the attitude of Christ. Why? Because it's been cleansed. And a lot of us still have all this old garbage and filth and vileness and bad attitudes in us. Because it's still in our minds. It's still in our actions. Still in the tone of our voice. Still in what we say. How we relate to each other. It's still down inside. Because what's in your mind, what's in your heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you're acting a certain way, saying words, certain words, or words with a certain inflection or accent or a little angle to those words, where is it coming from? Out of your mind. The mind of the brain and the mind of the heart. So if your mind is renewed, it'll be cleansed from those things. Your mind will be pure and clean, and the thoughts will be good and upright and loving and kind and generous. I don't think I measure up, do you? I don't think my mind's been renewed fully yet, because some of those things aren't there. They're there once in a while, but we're talking about a mind that's renewed, restored the kind of mind that Jesus had. That's what he expects of us. So a renewed mind is a cleansed mind. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians 4, 24. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now we'll be talking about this passage next week, but I want you to see one thing in it. What does it say? It says that if you are a renewed person, then you are going to have righteousness and holiness in you, because God has created you that way. God has put a new creation inside of you. And he's in the process of causing what is inside of you to work itself to the outside of you. He's put a new spirit, a new heart, and that is righteous. There is never any sin in your spirit. Do you know that? It's impossible for your spirit to sin, because that's where the Holy Spirit abides. Your spirit is a new spirit. It's a new creation. It is created after the likeness of God, and it is impossible for your spirit to sin. That's what John means when he says it's impossible when you've been born again to sin. You can't. You can sin in your flesh, in your body, but you can't sin in your spirit, because you've been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And the person who has a renewed mind, his mind is being fed by his spirit, and the thoughts of God are overflowing. The mind of Christ is showing, and it comes out through what he speaks and how he lives. It's a cleansed mind, no longer dirty and vile and filthy. It doesn't mean that you can't punch your computer and go back and remember something that happened years ago that's not right. Sure you can. Many of those things won't leave you immediately. Many of them God does wipe away, though, completely. You don't even know that you had them. They're gone. But even the ones that keep coming back, the Lord will lead you to where you can put that aside and it won't bother you anymore. It doesn't affect the way you live. It doesn't affect what you speak. It doesn't affect the continuing thoughts that come after it. It may flash in and you immediately take charge of it and cleanse it, and it's out again. This is what a new, renewed mind is like. It's a cleansed mind. So, it's a clean mind. Now, if your mind isn't clean, then it's not renewed. Oh, your heart is, yes, it's clean. The spirit. But your mind may not be. Then, another thing about this kind of a mind is that it discerns the truth and accepts it. You're able to see the truth, and not only able to see it, but then say, hey, that's right. That's true. I believe it. I'm going to do it. That's accepting. If it doesn't change your life when you know something, then you don't know it. You know about it. The only thing that you can say you know is what you've experienced. And that's what the New Testament talks about when it talks about knowing. A person who knows, who sees, understands, and really knows the truth, it changes his life because he accepts it. Now, anything that you don't know that has not changed your life, then to that extent you haven't been renewed. The things that you hear, the things you read, and then they get hold of you, the Holy Spirit works with you, taking that thought that's come into your mind, your brain mind, and brings that down into your heart, and you think about it, you meditate on it, and then you and the Holy Spirit bring it out of your heart, bring it back into your mind, and then you choose your conduct on the basis of that. Then you know it. But the Holy Spirit, in a renewed mind, gives you discernment. But those who don't have the Holy Spirit, who don't have a new heart and a new spirit, who don't have the Holy Spirit in them, it is impossible for them to please God, because they can never know what God wants. They cannot see the truth. They're always being led astray. They're always in doubt. They're always in conflict. And this person comes along and tells them, hey, this is what that means. This is how you ought to live. This is what a Christian is like. And then somebody else comes along and gives them another argument. And they say, well, maybe that's wrong and maybe this is right. And they're vacillating. And James says that you're a double-minded person when you're like that. And a double-minded person is no good to God. Because Jesus says he wants us to be single-minded. Not to look at two things with our eyes at the same time. Look at one thing. What's that? Keep your eyes, your mind, your heart fixed on him. And the mind that is renewed discerns the truth, knows the truth, and sticks by the truth. And will not be wafted this way and that by the wind. You know that? People who have claimed to be Christians and have been baptized and been members of a church at one time or another, most of the members of the cults are made up of those. How can that be? How can a person who has heard the word of God and been to church for years be so led astray? Deceived. His mind is deceived. This brain is deceived because his heart, the mind of his heart has not been renewed. The Holy Spirit is not able to bring forth the truth and enlighten his mind. Truth cannot be seen just by reading it. It has to go through the mind and into the heart, and the Holy Spirit examines it and then brings it back, reflects it back to you, and then you'll know whether it's really true or not, and you'll understand what is true and what is false. This is how we discern truth and error. False spirits and the Spirit of God is not just by the brain, not just by the intellect, but by the Spirit as he illumines and enlightens the heart. And the heart, illumined by the Holy Spirit, enlightens the mind, and then the mind is able to understand and to see what is true and what isn't, and then can speak what is true and what isn't. So, the mind that's renewed is not deceived by counterfeit or falseness. It is able to know God's will. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, we read a moment ago that we know the mind of God. We know what God wants. We know the heart of God. We know the deepest things of God. Well, if you know the deepest things about God, don't you know his will? Sure. We don't have to find God's will. God's will is not hidden from us by God. If God's will is hidden, it's because our mind has hidden. We don't want to see it, or we can't see it because something is in the way. But a mind that is renewed is open to see and to know and understand the will of God as God wants it to be revealed at that time. Now, it's true that God reveals things to us progressively. So that doesn't mean that we know everything about God and the total will of God at a given moment like that. No. God builds our life and opens our mind. And as you act on this truth and know this truth and live it out, God will reveal more to you. The one who has light is given more light. And God reveals more and more as you move along. So you're able to know. And also the person who discerns the truth and accepts it is able to control his thoughts. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, I believe it is, says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, or love and power, and self-control, or a sound mind. Now, those two things go together. They're both true. God has given us a spirit of self-control because we have a sound mind. Now, if you can think straight, you can act straight, right? If you know right, you can choose right. And so God has given us a spirit, the Holy Spirit, that will lead us to control what we think and therefore control what we do. We can know the truth and we can live the truth. We can refrain from error because the Holy Spirit enlightens us. Then a renewed mind rejects every thought from the enemy. You see, the renewed mind knows the mind of God. It knows the thoughts of God, and it also knows the thoughts and the mind of the enemy, to where it is not deceived. A renewed mind knows when the devil's talking. Do you? Do you know when the devil's talking to you? When a demonic spirit comes and gets in your mind and is giving you the thoughts you're having, do you know that? Do you know what to do about it? The person that has a renewed mind does. He knows when it's not God's thoughts, when it's not God's attitudes. He knows when it's demonic interference, when it's static on the line, and he's able to deal with it. We are experts at repairing the computer when it relates to the spirit. Now, we don't know all about the brain, but the Word of God and the Spirit of God working with us causes us to know all about how to fix whatever's wrong with our spiritual relationship. And therefore, we have no reason to ever be overcome by the devil or to listen to him or obey him. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and through 5, we read last week and we'll read it again next week, explain a little more about it. That passage says that we have strongholds built in our minds. There are spirits that stand in defiance, proud, arrogant defiance of God. And they build strongholds in our minds. And it says that we are able to pull those strongholds down and cast down all those vain, useless, empty, futile imaginations that come to us from the devil. And so we reject all that is from the enemy. We don't receive any of it if we have a mature, renewed mind. But now, does the devil ever give you thoughts and you play around with them and you let them develop and you get other thoughts along with them, and before long you do what the devil wants? You see, the problem is not that we cannot live for God. The problem is we don't think like God. We can live for God. We can live a godly life if we have godly thoughts. We can defeat the devil if we reject the devil's thoughts. And a renewed mind is able to do that. And then a renewed mind is active in thinking. It is never passive. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:8 that if there's any virtue and any praise, anything at all that's good about these things in the Christian life, he said, then give them some attention. Think on them. And he gives you a whole list. Now, the point I want to bring out right here is, he says, think on these things. I believe I told you last week, one of the things that occultish teaching or occult will try to do is to get you to meditate and not think. Yoga, transcendental meditation, positive thinking, which requires you to let your mind go blank and relax all over and have nothing bothering you and just be still and be quiet. And they say, be still and know that I am God. Hey, wait a minute. You're on dangerous ground. You'll be still, but it won't be God Almighty, the Lord Jesus, if you'll know. It'll be another God. Don't ever become passive. God never wants his people to be passive. The Holy Spirit is never passive. God has always worked, and he always will. Jesus always worked while he was here. Now, I don't mean he didn't rest, but even when he was resting, he was working. Jesus didn't ever just put everything in neutral and lay it aside. We can't either. Don't ever let your mind be blank, be passive. Don't ever meditate and just let thoughts come as they will. This is extremely dangerous, because the devil will use your mind if you do that. What do you do then? You think on these things. You think about something, not nothing. You think your mind should always be occupied with the things of God. Because as you think, so you are. And if you're occupied with God, thinking about the things of God, you'll do the things of God. And as you think about the things of the world, the things of the devil or whatever, and allow these things to come in and absorb your inner thinking, the thinking of your heart and the thinking of your mind, you become like that. Don't be passive. Even when you watch television. Now, sometimes it's aggravating. Most of the time when I watch television, I'm so critical I can't enjoy it. But that's good. The Lord wants you to be critical of what is not godly, to discern, and not get caught letting thoughts passively come in. Subliminal thinking. Subliminal influence coming in and affecting you, and you're passive and not even thinking about it. That's why it's dangerous to go to sleep listening to television or the radio if you're not sure what you're going to be listening to. You know that? Because those things that are from the devil, from the world, can come in through that influence and go through your mind and down into your heart, the mind of the heart, and influence you unconsciously. You won't even know you're being influenced. That's why we have so much advertisement on TV and radio. It just grabs you so that when you go to buy things, even without thinking about it, you'll buy what they've advertised. And you have to actively use your mind and examine and say, no, that isn't as good a bargain as this. It costs more than this in the long run. It's not as good a quality. I'm not going to be brainwashed. And lay it aside. You use your mind. All right? In the same way, we are supposed to always have an active mind, thinking on something that is from God, not just allowing anything to come in. Then we set our mind on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the flesh. This is related to what I just said. You'll find in Romans 8, 5 through 7, I'd like to read that passage again. It's a key passage which we'll read over and over. You'll never get to where you don't need to read this passage. Romans 8, beginning in verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh, human nature, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see what that says? If you have a renewed mind, because you're a renewed person, if you are a spiritual person, you'll have a spiritual mind. It's really what he says. A spiritual person is spiritual because he has a spiritual mind. And the person who has a spiritual mind will live a spiritual life. So, examine yourself. Are you set on the things of the Spirit? Is your thinking and your activity related to the things of the Holy Spirit, or just what comes naturally? Now that will prove to you to the extent of your mind's renewal. How much has it been renewed? Well, you can measure it. This is objective. You can write it down. You can keep a diary and write down what you do and what you think during the day and what you listen to and where you go, and then you can look at it at the end of the day and tell whether you're a spiritual person or a carnal person. You can tell whether your mind has been renewed or whether your mind is still a carnal mind. Easy. It's objective. So, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, separation from God. To the extent that you are thinking just naturally, you're thinking what everybody else thinks. To the extent that you are just following along with the way the wind blows you in the world, in your thought life, to that extent, you're dead. Dead to God. Dead to the Holy Spirit. Dead to the blessings of God. Dead to the presence of God. Dead to the life of godliness in the kingdom of God in the world. You're dead. You're useless. But the mind that is set on the Spirit is life and peace. So again, how much life and how much peace do you have? Your peace and your life, and it's talking about godly life. Your peace and your life are determined by what you think, how you think. If you have the mind of Christ, the thoughts of God, you're at peace. Your life is peaceful. You are living the abundant life. But if your mind is confused and full of turmoil and conflict and worry and anxiety, and your life is lived all out of joint and up one day and down the next and hot and cold spiritually and active part of the time and inactive part of the time, what's the problem? The problem is your mind has not been renewed. The renewed mind makes you a consistent, reliable, determined, spiritual person in all that you do and all that you say, because your mind is that way. You're being governed from the mind of the Spirit and your mind, which is cooperating with the Spirit, so you have the mind and the thoughts of God, and they flow out through your mouth and through your arms and hands and your legs and your feet, and so where you go and what you say and what you think is consistent with godliness, holiness. Then the mind that is renewed thinks maturely. Does that call to mind a verse? 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul is talking about love, and then he begins to talk about how that's affected him. And he said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became mature, I put away childish things. Now look at your life. How much childishness is there in you? Petty little peeves that you have. Sensitive feelings, and people can say something and you act like a kid. Or you still want people's attention, and so you throw a temper tantrum, or you do something to show off in front of people. Oh, it's a little more sophisticated than children, but it's still childish. Don't we all do that? Where does that come from? It comes from an immature mind. When your mind is mature, you live maturely. And when your mind is immature and you live like a child, you're a childish person. It means your mind has not been renewed yet. But it can be. So think maturely by letting the Holy Spirit give you the thoughts of God. Is God childish? Was Jesus ever childish? Now, Jesus said we must become like a child. He meant in humility, in trust, in receptivity, in submission. Yes. We must become like a child, but we never must be childish. Childishness is not being like a child. Childishness is silly. It's immaturity. Being like a child is something you choose to be in order to be humble and submissive and obedient and open to the Lord and to other people, willing to do what other people say under the Lord and what the Lord says. That's being childlike. But childishness is that immaturity that we often have in our lives, and it's there because we're not thinking maturely. One last passage, 1 Corinthians 14:20. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be babes, but in your thinking be mature." Now that's a command. In your thinking, be mature. Don't be childish. Now only the Holy Spirit can do that. Now look at your life this morning. Examine. What kind of thoughts do you have? What kind of life are you living? Are you giving evidence that you have a renewed mind? Or do you still have a whole lot of the old man, Adam, still controlling who you are and what you do? Well, God can change you, and only God. Will you not this morning just say, "God, I see now why I can't get victory over this sin. Why these thoughts keep zinging into my mind and I don't want them there. Why this attitude is there and I wrestle with it and pray about it but it won't go. And why, Lord, I want to be different and I'm not. God, it's because my mind is not like your mind yet. It hadn't been renewed yet. But Lord, I give it to you." Literally, give your mind to the Lord. Give him your heart, yes. It's not enough to say, "Lord, I give you my heart and I give you my sins." He wants all of you. What's the passage we read last week that's the key passage to all of this? Present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And what? And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want to live a transformed life? Get a new mind. And only God can give it to you. And God will give it to you if you give him your old mind. It's an exchange. You give him your mind and your thoughts and your attitudes, and then you receive his mind and his thoughts and his attitudes. You exchange them. You put yours off and his will come in. Would you do that this morning? While we pray. Lord, we thank you that though this is a process that is complicated, and we can't really understand it, we can experience it. And we thank you that your word is very clear who we ought to be and what we ought to be, what we need to be. And Lord, our spirit is very clear as to what we want to be. We want to be like you. We want to think your thoughts and do your deeds. Live your life. So Lord, I pray that this morning, everyone who knows you would open their lives totally to you, to let the Holy Spirit come in and renew their minds, that they'll give up and cast off all of those attitudes and the thinking that is from the world and the flesh and the devil, and that they will allow you to be in control. And the Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. Come and fill us afresh, that we may know the deep and secret things of God, our Father. Amen.